How are you guys doing this morning? Everybody's doing good?
Richard, you're my favorite.
You're my favorite, Taylor. You're all my favorite. All your favorite. Good, I'm glad you guys are doing good. So, obviously, guys, AJ's not here, and teaching again. I got to teach last time on a Wednesday for Lone Tree, and it was so blessed to teach that last time. And very excited to be back again on a Sunday morning and teaching with you guys. And this morning, let's open up with prayer before we dive in, and let's also pray for AJ, because he's really sick. I don't know exactly what's going on. I know his throat's hurting him a lot, so let's open up prayer together and pray for that and pray for the message. Lord, we just come for you, Father God, and we just thank you for this awesome time of worship, Father God, that we just thank you. We can just lift our voices as high and as loud as we can to a Father that loves us so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross for us, Father God. And we just lift up AJ, Father God, to you right now, Lord, that that you just heal him, Father God, that you help him to talk better, Father God. You heal his throat, that you heal whatever's going on with him right now, Father God. Whatever sickness, you know what it is, Father God. We know you are the ultimate healer, and we know that you will heal him, Father God, and just continue to be with him, Father God, and be with us, Father God, as we dive into your word and we learn, Father God. And I pray that we learn something new this morning, Father God, and we take it with us when we leave, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. All right, guys, this morning, obviously, we're talking about David, a man after God's own heart. You guys know King David. He was a great king. You guys know the story. He made the Psalms. He had a son named Solomon, who was one of the richest kings that ever lived. But we're not going to talk about King David, guys. We're going to talk about shepherd boy David. And probably no more than your guys' age. Just a little shepherd boy, wasn't even king yet, wasn't nothing, just looked after sheep. And we're going to see how through David's life, how God used him to show his strength to everybody, to show that God is bigger than anything, and that he can use somebody small for his glory, to glorify God and his will. And David just overwhelms me with his love and his faith for God at such a young age. Overwhelms me that I wish I was that young and had that much faith and love. And we're going to see is how God uses him. And that God can use you too. You're going to see, guys, that whatever situation in your life, whatever's going on in your guys' life, that God is bigger than anything you guys are going through. That God can use you. He can use you. He can use all of us. That no situation is big enough for God to handle. No situation. And I hope you guys leave with more faith in God and more belief that he will lend you his strength, that you can rely on that. So today, guys, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 17. You guys want to open up to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to be looking at verses 48 through 51. I'll give you guys a second to turn there. Chapter 17, verse 48 through 51. We're going to be going back a little bit. So this is what it says, verse 48. So it was, when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. So right here, guys, we're seeing how David killed this man. And he just killed Goliath with a little sling and a little stone, struck him in the forehead, and killed him. So I'm going to give you guys some background. What's happening is, so there's the Philistine army on one side, and then there's the Israelite army on one side, Saul's army. And so the Philistines are on top of one side of the mountain, and the Israelites on another another side of the mountain, excuse me. And in the middle, there's a big valley called the Valley of Elah. And they're all just kind of staring at each other. And just like, you know, they're all ready for battle on this side and on this side. And they're like, okay, what do we, you know, look what's going on. But in those days, what would happen usually was one side of the army would propose a duel between one person of one side and another person from another side. And basically they would come and fight one-on-one, and whoever lost, that army lost. And whoever won, that army won. Sounds pretty cool, right? You know, so they're saving all their other guys so they don't have to die. The whole army doesn't have to die, or a lot of people don't have to die. So they send these two people to battle it out. This is pretty cool. It's kind of like a good faith, a compromise, a really good compromise to say, hey, you know, if this happens, okay, it's good. Who's seen Prince Caspian? Narnia, Chronicles of Narnia. You remember that? Remember how the Telmarines were on one side of their army? And is it Peter's name? Is his name? Is that his name, Peter? Well, Peter. And Peter's army was on the other side. And then Peter says, hey, well, let's propose something to where I'll fight the king of the Telmarines, and I'll come and fight him, and then we can settle it out that way. And they did it. They fought. That's what's going on here. So they would propose that. And so what happened was a man from the Philistine army came up. This, you guys might know who I'm talking about. His name's Goliath. You guys know all about Goliath, right? So this guy comes up, all decked out with armor, bronze armor, mind you, really heavy. It says in the Bible that he's wearing a helmet that's 600 shekels, which is probably about 125 pounds. And he had a coat of bronze armor all over his legs, all over his arms. You know, he's ready. He says he has a spear in one hand and a sword in the other hand. His spear is probably about 15 pounds, bronze again. You know, he probably is a fan of bronze. And then there was another guy in front of him holding a shield, another one of the Philistines guys. He's in front of Goliath and, you know, holding the shield in front of him, which is so he can hold a spear and a sword. And I can imagine what that guy's probably thinking, holding the shield. He's either probably afraid, you know, or that he's going to get hit because he's right there and, like, he's probably shaking, oh my gosh. Or I'm probably thinking he's, like, really excited because, like, yeah, I got Goliath in back of me. I don't have to die, you know. I just have to hold up a big shield for him. And that's it. So he has this thing and he's all decked out and all this stuff. And it says he's 6 cubits and a span. You guys know how tall that is? 6 cubits and a span? Probably somewhere from 9 feet and 6 inches to 9'9". Can you guys think of that? Have you seen anybody 9'9", 9 feet, 9 inches? I haven't. Kevin's probably about 6'3". Skip Heitzik is 6'5". So can you imagine about 3.5, 4 heads over Skip? I think this building's like 10 feet tall. So there's a guy standing almost 10 feet tall proposing to the Israelite army, Saul's army, and saying, hey, send somebody over here to fight me so that I can kill him. And he's just taunting them and taunting them. And he didn't just do it for one day, guys. He didn't do it just for a couple of days. He did it for 40 days and for 40 nights. Can you guys imagine that, going back and forth, 40 days? Hey, you know, send somebody over here so he can fight me, because he wasn't afraid. He was built, he had his armor, he had a shield in front of him, he had a spear, he had a sword. He knew any guy that they sent over, he would kill. He wasn't afraid. So he kept going and proposing this duel to Saul's army. And meanwhile, Saul's army and everybody's all afraid, like, oh my gosh, this giant guy is going to kill us. You know, and I think probably, I would think Goliath would have got tired, you know, going 40 days and 40 nights constantly. All right, come on guys, send somebody over, please. This is 38 days, 38 nights. You'd think he'd get tired, but I guess he didn't, you know. He's just all thinking he's all bad, you know, whatever, and taunting them. But God's in control. You know, I'm sure Goliath could have got fed up, brought a whole Philistine army and said, let's just go kill him. And he could have took out X amount of soldiers of Saul's army, but he didn't. He kept taunting them and kept saying, send somebody over, send somebody over. But God's in control. So meanwhile, while that's going on, here's a little background on what David's doing. David is a little shepherd boy looking after his sheep, probably about, you know, Bobby size, I'd imagine, you know. Just a little boy, you know, and tending the sheep, you know. He says he was a musician, he was a poet, he's probably writing some poems and some parchment or something, you know, hanging out, playing some worship songs, you know, enjoying this time. So what happens is Jesse, his dad, is worried about his other three sons because they're in Saul's army. And so he goes up to David and he says, hey, go check on my sons. I'm worried about them. Let me send you some fish. Let me send you some food. Go bring it to them. Bring word back to me and tell me they're okay. So David says, okay, cool. So David goes and he sends them. And in look with me in verse 23, guys, in 17. Verse 23. So Jesse sends his son David. So then it says in verse 23, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. So David just walks up, and not even seeing Goliath, and he hears these words in the background, taunting them and telling them to send somebody over, and he hears this. And look at verse 24. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So he comes up again, and the Israel army just runs away because they're afraid of him again. So they took off. So in verse 25, so the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? They're talking to David. Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. So they're telling David this, that whoever kills this man, Goliath, that Saul is going to give him all these riches. He's going to give him his daughter in daughter's hand in marriage. And he's going to give his father's house exemption from taxes. His father doesn't have to pay taxes anymore. It's kind of like just sweet deal, you know what I mean? But that's not going on through David's mind. David's not saying, oh, that's sweet, you know, I'm going to go. No, all he's thinking is somebody's blaspheming my God's name. And check out what it says in verse 26. Read with me. Then David spoke to the man who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? I love this part. Listen carefully. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Stop right there. Look what he says. What's that key word there? Living. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defies the name of the living God? The armies of the living God. He says living. David believes that God is living and he is real. And he said he didn't say who defies just God or just defies the Lord. He says the living God. David knows that his God is alive. And all David hears is this guy putting his God's name down. He's like, I ain't going to stand for that. We're going to do something about this. So David, what happens is he says that to the guys, what's going to happen? And they tell him, this is what's going to happen to the man who kills Goliath. He's going to give him all these riches and whatever and blah, blah, blah. So David doesn't care about that, though. He doesn't care about that. All he can think about is this guy putting his God's name down. So David goes up to Saul, and he says, send your servant over there. He says, send me your servant to fight this man blaspheming my God's name. And Saul says, are you kidding me? You know, like a little boy, probably about Bobby's size, you know, going up to Saul, and keep in mind that Saul, if you read back, was a very tall man as well. He was probably the only one capable to fight Goliath because he was really tall. Goliath was still pretty taller than him, but he was probably the only one capable. But he didn't. He didn't have faith in his God to fight. He was afraid. He was being a chicken. He's like, I'm not going to go fight him. I'm going to propose this little thing that I'll give his father, doesn't have to pay taxes, and I'll give him my daughter, and I'll give him this and this and this. Because he's afraid. He's a coward. He has no faith whatsoever in his God. But David does. Being a little boy, goes up to Saul and says, hey, Saul, let me go because I don't like how he's talking to my living God. It's cool. Right? And Saul's like, no, dude, this guy's been fighting since he was your age. You haven't even fought in a battle. And David says, well, check this out. Every time that I was shepherding my sheep, every time a lion or a bear came and took one of those sheep from me, I went over there, opened its mouth, took it out, and when that bear or lion came at me, I struck it. Did you guys check that out? He killed a lion and a bear. Can you guys imagine you going up to a bear and saying, hey, I'm going to kill you. Don't touch my lambs. You know, no, it says David grabs him by the beard, gets him and strikes him. That's amazing, amazing strength that he is relying on God's strength. I can imagine just Bobby going up and doing that. It's crazy, you know? It's amazing how God uses the little things of this world to glorify his name. And he tells Saul this, and Saul says, okay, well here, don't just go out there with nothing on. I'm going to give you my armor. So Saul puts on all of his armor on David. And what did I say? Saul's huge, right? So he puts on all this armor on David, and David's a little guy, and he's putting it on. It's all like draping over his arms, and he's like, Saul, I can't move. You know? What do I do? You know what I mean? So he says, no, I can't fight this. So he gets out. He throws it aside. He says, no, I'm going to take my sling, and I'm going to take some rocks, and I'm going to go after this guy. With just a sling and rocks. Amazing. It's so amazing. So David goes out, and Saul lets him go. So David meets Goliath. In verses 41 through 43. Read with me. Verse 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So already Goliath is saying, who is this little kid coming up to me? I'm going to stomp on him. You know? He's already immediately underestimating him, of course. So the Philistine said to David, verse 43, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. So all Goliath sees is a little thing in his hand, a little sling and some rocks. He says, you're coming at me with that? Come on, man. Like, are you kidding me? This is what Saul's army sends to me? So read with me again, 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. So already Goliath's saying, you know, I'm going to kill this guy. I'm just going to grab him, throw him up, and the birds are going to, you know. That's all he's thinking. But check out what David says to him. After hearing all this, David's standing up to a 9'9" guy and looking at him. And this guy is under, I mean, what's the word I'm looking for? He's intimidating him. You know, a big old huge guy looking down at him and saying, I'm going to kill you. You know, and David, no, look what David says, verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. I can imagine Goliath, like, huh? Like, what? So, verse 46. David goes along and says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give you the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God of Israel. So Goliath tells him all these things, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to feed you to the birds. But David says, no, I'm going to kill you and I'm going to feed your birds to the flesh and I'm going to cut off your head. I wish I could have seen that. The look on Goliath's face. You know, hey, I'm going to kill you. Watch out. God's on my side. And Goliath's like, are you kidding me? Like, he's probably mad. You know, he's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's blaspheming the living God's name? So David doesn't back down at all. So, okay, read on again. Verse 47. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So David knows immediately that his God is so powerful and has so much strength that David, just being a little boy, like I'd imagine like Bobby, and God uses him, a little boy, for his glory. That's saying, I'm not going to use Saul, that already a big old tall man and who's handsome and, you know, who's all strong already. No, I'm going to use a little boy to glorify my name. I'm going to show that army that, look, there is a God. And I'm going to use this boy, David, to show you guys how much strength I have. And David knows that. Isn't that such amazing faith? Amazing faith in his God. And David's not afraid. He doesn't take a step back. He takes a step forward to Goliath and says, like, what? You know? Like, what? It's amazing. Isn't that how we should be? Right? That's how we should live our lives. Not afraid of any obstacle that's coming our way. Not afraid of any situation that we think is too big for God to handle. But no, we should take a step forward and say, I know my God will give me strength. I'm not going to be afraid. He will get me through this, and I will overcome it through his strength. That's how we should live our lives. And David knew that, and that's what he did. So read with me again, verse 48, and we'll see what David did again. So David goes up. So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew to meet David that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. So this guy's Goliath probably furious that David's even stepping up to him and says, I'm going to kill you, making these threats. So Goliath is just, I'm going to kill this little man, you know? And David says, okay, you're going to come at me. I'm coming right at you. So they start going towards each other and read on. It says, then David put, in verse 49, then David put in his hand in his bag and took out a stone. And he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David's running towards him and he stops and I can imagine, like, whoosh, whoosh, bam, falls down. Can you imagine all the things that I told you guys about what Goliath was wearing? All the armor he had on, the bronze, heavy armor practically covering his whole body, the one spot that David hits that he's vulnerable, his forehead. With perfect aim, mind you. Precise aim with one shot. David's like, bam. He's gone. He's immediately struck down. And read on. So there, David didn't waste any time. Verse 51. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. So David didn't waste any time. Like I said, he immediately ran over there, got over him, got the sword. Whoosh, told you. And he looks at the army. You can imagine the army is like, no. You know, they take off. Such an amazing story in David's life. How God can use the little things of this world to glorify his name. And David wasn't afraid. He didn't waste any time. He ran over there, cut off his head like he said. And it later on it says that David kept it as a trophy. That he had the lion's head and the bear's head and Goliath's head. And he took it back to show everybody, look at what God did. Not what I did. I didn't do this. God gave me the strength. Look at what he did. Amazing. So amazing. So this morning, guys, if you can sit here and read about David's life and say, oh, well, Rich, I got something in my life. That's just big. It's too big, and I can't do it by myself. I can't. I don't think that I have enough strength to do this. It's too much. Whatever the situation is in your home, whatever coming up with your friends, whatever the situation, nothing is too big for God to handle because God is bigger than all of that. David knew that. And that's the faith that we should have, to know that we have a God on our side that's big enough to do anything. We shouldn't put this little God in a box and confine him to this little thing where he can only do this and do that. No, God can do anything. Anything. And I'm not saying, of course, you know, you're going to go to your parents and say, hey, Dad, he told me I'd kill a lion. I'm going to go do that, okay? No, you're not going to do that. What I'm saying is, in your lives and anything, any troubles, any hard times in your life, that you can rely on God's strength to bring you out of that, whatever the situation might be, that you think it's too much, that it seems like this big and you're like this small. Well, that thing might be this big. God's 100,000 times bigger than that. It says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. For those of you taking notes, write that down. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. God's saying right there that you can rely on my strength. He's so big, he will hold you with his hand. His righteous hand. He says clearly, yes, I will help you. I will help you. And sometimes we can see in our lives where we're too scared to go at a situation in our lives that we think is too big, that we're afraid. But we can't be afraid because we have a God on our side that's bigger than that. And he will give us his strength. And we have to know that 100% sure, like David did. So if you guys can stop and think in your lives and say, hey, Rich, man, I want to have that strength. I want to do that. I haven't been living my life like with that faith. And I want that. Come up to me. Come up to leader afterwards. We'll pray with you. And you can accept Jesus in your heart. And you can have that faith. Or some of you that have already said that prayer in your lives will say, I'm not doing that, Rich. I don't have faith. We'll pray with you. We'll pray with you. And know after this story, guys, and really know for sure that God will give you that strength. Without a doubt. And he will. And he will. So let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for showing us this amazing event in David's life, Father God, that you used him for your glory, Father God. That you used such a little boy to overcome such a big thing. Killing a 9-foot-9 tall man with just a slingshot and a rock. So Father God, we just pray that you can use us like that, Father God, to overcome big things in our lives. That help us not to be afraid to overcome these things in our life. That we can rely on your strength, like it says in Isaiah 41:10. Help us to rely on that, Father God, and continue to show us that strength in our lives, Father God. And I pray that we all can just remember that and take that in our hearts and take it as we leave today, Father God. And I pray if there's anyone that's touching their lives today, Father God, that they talk to somebody after service, Father God. And we love you and we thank you for this morning, Father God. In your name we pray. Amen. Now you guys are free to go.